Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We're talking about the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here talking about the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. First and foremost, our congratulations to all of you on the birth anniversary of the second divinely appointed Imam. In order to talk a little bit about His Eminence's life, we humbly invited Sheikh Mustafa Araki. So we invite him and start the talk show. Sheikh Mustafa Araki, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me. I congratulate on my behalf the holy birth of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam to all the Shias, to all the Muslims in the world. And I hope that all the Muslims in the world would have a very peaceful and a very great Ramadan, inshallah.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you have quite a lot on your plate, and still you always honor us coming here and putting forth these good words for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. You know, of course, we find that the birth anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam in the holy month of Ramadan, but sometimes we find that he is a personality which is not very well understood, to say the least, amongst the Muslims, amongst the Shias, amongst the Sunnis. So in light of that, we wanted to invite you and talk about a little bit about the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And so we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Thank you very much. Yes, you're right. I think with regards to the life of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, there are certain things that we need to learn. There's many things that we need to understand with regards to the different aspects of the life of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam.
Yes.
I would like to start my talk with a beautiful narration of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is a very nice and hopeful, you could say, saying from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He mentions that Inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ittala'a ala al-ard fakhtarana wa akhtara lana shi'atan yansurunana. وَيَفْرَحُونَ لِفَرَحِنَا وَيَحْزَنُونَ لِحُزْنِنَا. The Holy Imam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into His creations. He inspected His creations and He selected us, the A'immah, salamullahi ta'ala alayhim. And for us, the A'immah, He chose a certain followers, certain Shias. It is very interesting that in this saying, the Imam says not only that us, the Imams, were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Shias, our followers, were selected for us in order to assist us in our mission. And these Shias and these followers that are meant to assist us in our mission, they have this quality that they rejoice at our joy and they are saddened in our grief as well. So this is why at the time of the time of the birth of the Holy Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhim, we celebrate because we rejoice at the joy, because this is a very joyful occasion for the Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhim, and this makes us become joyful as well. Because in another narration, the Holy Imam alayhi salam mentions that the Shias have been created from the excess of our clay. So خلقوا من فاضل طينتنا. So we have the same essence. We share the essence, we share this being with the A'imma salamullahi ta'ala alayhim. So we should be proud of this. When the holy A'imma are happy, we become happy. When they are saddened, we are saddened.
We're also saddened.
With regards to the birth of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, it's a very interesting story. When the holy Imam comes into this life, and his birth occasion arrives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his angel Jibreel, his special angel, to the Holy Prophet for congratulating him for the honor of being gifted this noble son. This is the narration that the Holy Imam narrates from the Holy Prophet. Allah congratulates the Holy Prophet for the being, for the coming into being of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, which is very important.
It's a big deal, right?
Yes.
He's
referring to a very important point.
That is also rejoicing.
This son is a very special person. He has a very special position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sends his blessings and his congratulations for the birth of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet. And it is mentioned, another honor given to Imam Mujtaba is this, that when Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam was a baby and he was given to his father Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Ali alayhi salam gives it to the Holy Prophet for reciting the Adhan and the Iqamah. Mm. And then Bibi Fatima to Zahra salam, the mother, asks Imam Ali alayhi salam for choosing a name. Here it is mentioned that the Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, I don't precede the Holy Prophet in choosing a name for my son. Here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revelates, and the angel comes to the Holy Prophet and tells the Holy Prophet that Allah says, as the Imam Ali alayhi salam's position to you is as the position of Harun to Musa alayhi salam, right, and the son of Harun was named Shubbar, you name your grandson as the name of Shubbar. The Holy Prophet says, I name him Hassan, which is the equivalent of Shubbar in Hebrew.
In Arabic.
So the name of Imam Hassan alayhi salam was as well chosen
by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And this is a very big honor. It's a very important position, which refers to the position of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam in the Shia doctrine. It is very important. With regards to the personality of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, one of the very beautiful points mentioned is his generosity.
Right.
The generosity of Imam alayhi salam stands out in his personality.
Right.
Important point that we need to have in mind, that when you look into the life and into personalities of our Imam A'imma salamullahi ta'ala alayhim, in each and every single Imam, when you look into their personality, a certain quality, a certain feature, characteristic stands out.
Right.
For example,
it's bold.
When you look into the life of Imam, for example, Imam Rida alayhi salam, this affection, this kindness, we call him Imam al-Ra'uf.
Yes.
This quality stands up in Imam Rida alayhi salam. When you look into the personality of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, he's called Baqirul Ulum. His knowledge and his education, his level of knowledge stands out in our eyes. Does that mean that different Imams have different qualities? Of course, this is not what we're believing.
Right.
According to the Shia belief, all the Imams have been created from a same light. كلهم نور واحد. Been created from the same light. So their quality, their essence is united, is same, is similar.
Yes.
We don't believe that an Imam has for example, certain qualities higher than the other Imam in that quality. No, that's not the case. Allama Tabatabai explains this, you could say, problem in a very, very good manner.
Right.
He mentions that every single Imam has the highest qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all the Imams.
Right.
So if all the Imams have the same qualities, they are all being blessed by these high attributes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the point is that every Imam, in our view, in our eyes, according to our understanding, a certain qualities stand out for us. Because every Imam in their life, in their situation, in their environment, there are certain requirements, there are certain prerequisites that drives them into certain conduct, certain attitudes. And in our eyes, in our vision, certain qualities stand out.
Right.
It doesn't mean that this Imam differs in that quality from the other Imam.
This one has and this one
doesn't have.
They all have the same qualities.
They all have the same qualities.
It's just the time and era that they were in, a certain quality stood out.
Right? Exactly. So that certain quality is apparent to us, is manifest in that personality from our view, from our point of view. This is important that we need to have in mind. Now, with regards to Imam Mujtaba, there is a narration with regards to the virtue of good conduct.
The good akhlaq, exactly.
And the chain of narration of this narration, all of them are called Hassan. This is interesting.
Yeah.
حدثنا الحسن عن الحسن عن الحسن إن أحسن الحسن الخلق الحسن. It's a very interesting, very beautiful narration that Imam Hassan alayhi salam narrates. The person who narrates from Imam Hassan alayhi salam, his name is Hassan. The person who narrates from that person, his name is Hassan. Until he quotes, they all narrate from Imam Hassan alayhi salam that Inna Ahsan al Hassan, the best virtue is the good conduct. Inna Ahsan al Hassan al Khulq al Hassan. The good morals, good morality is the best conduct a person can generate in himself. So this is with regard to the personality of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, his position with the Holy Prophet, his presence at the story and the event of Mubahila, and Mubahila, him being one of the Ahl al-Qisa. All of these are the things that build up a very special personality from Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Now, one of the very important issues that usually is raised with regards to the life of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, that we, I think, as Shias should be very clear on, we should understand fully, is the reason why Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam went on peace terms with Muawiyah.
Sheikh, if it's okay, I'd like to, because I think we're transitioning to a different part of the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. You had brought up the idea of one of his qualities that was very well known in his era was the idea of generosity, right? And apparently it's related that, you know, he gave away all of his wealth at least two times in his life, right? All of his wealth, all of his belongings, he gave away in charity as generosity. And just kind of how much the Muslims in the present day can learn from that. I'm sure, you know, we can't give away all of our belongings and our wealth, but this idea of helping the people that are needy, helping the people that are downtrodden, people that, you know, are poor, and how we learn this from Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam.
Of course, these holy lives are the role models for our lives.
Exactly.
So we need to look into their lives in order to depict that in our lives as well, in order to reflect their qualities in ourselves if we claim to be their followers, their Shias.
Right.
So as you mentioned, this is something, it's easy to say this, but it's been mentioned that at least twice during the life of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, the holy Imam donated all his wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All his wealth.
Basically, he gave away all whatever he had. He was left just with the clothing.
Nothing else.
He didn't have nothing else for himself. He gave everything away in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an important point. One of the reasons for that goes back to the point that I mentioned, that a certain situation at the time of the Imam required him,
drove him into this type of conduct. Yes.
He wanted to invite people in the way of Allah through his conduct, to show them that how is it, how a person can live in an environment that there are so many wealthy people forgetting, neglecting those needies, but there are certain people who are giving away their wealth, and this is the way that we need to follow. That we need to care for those people who are needy. We need to care for the people who are poor in our society. Look after them. They are part of us. We live in a society, and when we live amongst the Muslims, this society is one whole figure, one being.
As
we all have in our narrations, that whoever lives in a society, he needs to look after them. We are a whole one body. The Muslims are whole one body. If a part of this body comes into pain, all the body comes into pain as well. So this is something that we need to have in mind, that when Imam Hassan alayhi salam portrays this sort of conduct, and he demonstrates to people that this is the way that I behave in my society, this is something that we need to note. This is our duty as well in our time, to look after those people in our society that are left back in terms of their wealth and their financial needs. We need to look after them and be able to perform our duty as a Muslim with respect to them. Now, this issue that I thought is quite important for us to note is because we need to understand the position of Imam with respect to us. Who is Imam? Imam Hassan alayhi salam was an Imam of his time. He had a certain, he lived in a certain situation that his situation required certain actions. So there were certain things, certain events that drove the Holy Imam to take certain measures, to do certain actions. Now, why is it that at the time of the Holy Imam, Mujtaba alayhi salam, the Imam goes into peace terms with Muawiyah. But on the other side, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, at the time of Yazid, he doesn't go into peace terms. He goes and he battles and he sacrifices his life and the life of his companions and his family in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did, why did not Imam Hassan alayhi salam, why did he not do the same? Why did he not go the same way?
Head to head
with Muawiyah. What was the reason? This is something that we need to understand. Now, in order to explain this, I would like to refer to a book by the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei mentioning the life of the Imams alayhi salam. The Supreme Leader mentions in this book, he draws a parable for the life of the A'imma salamullahi ta'ala alayhim. He gives that, he explains that the 250 years of the Imams alayhi salam, they can be summarized into a life of a single individual. Every imam, all these imams alayhi salam, they had one certain objective. They had one goal, they had one objective. But with respect to certain events and certain social situations that happened in their time, they needed to take certain measures relevant to that specific time and a specific episode of this life of this individual. So Imam Khamenei mentions that the life of the Holy Ma'sumin is like a person who lived, one single person who lived for 250 years. During this 250 years, he had different situations. He went through, this individual, different situations, different episodes of life. And in different episodes, there were certain actions that he needed to take, with respect to the environment or the social situation that he was in.
It's very well put,
So, it doesn't mean, so if Imam Hassan alayhi salam, what at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he would have taken the same measure. If Imam Hussein alayhi salam was at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the same action would have been taken by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These all were one certain individual heading towards a certain goal, a certain objective, and in different episodes of their lives, in different social situations, there were certain actions that made them and drove them, you know, in order to take certain measures to be able to deal and handle that situation.
And ultimately achieve that goal that they're all trying to achieve, which is one goal.
So, Ayatollah Khamenei explains or puts four episodes for this individual. He says that this individual had four episodes of his for his life.
Four phases.
Four phases for his life. He explains that, for example, the first phase was from the demise of the Holy Prophet until the Khilafah of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. After the demise of the Holy Prophet, as you know, the Khilafah was overtaken by other individuals. At this time, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had a certain duty to take. He was working under the scene. Behind the scenes, Imam Ali alayhi salam was managing the situation and the affairs of the Muslims. This was the first episode or phase of the Imam, the life of the Imams, you could say. This was the first phase that Imam Ali alayhi salam, because we have certain narrations that mentions that, for example, the first or the second Khalifa, they made a certain decision which was not right, which was against the rulings of Islam. But here Imam Ali alayhi salam suddenly appears and he mentions and he comes and stands before the Khalifa that this decision that you have made is wrong. This is the right thing that you mean. And we have so many sayings even mentioned in the sources of the Ahl Sunnah that Lawla Ali lahalaka Umar. This is the phase, this is quite famous, mentioned in the riwayat of the of the Sunnis as well. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had certain eyes watching the Khilafah of the Muslimin, the affairs of the Muslims, in order to manage it, in order to prevent it from going away, for going astray, for going away from the right path. He was basically somehow protecting the Muslim Ummah from going astray. This was the role of Imam Ali, which was a very, very special role. I don't want to mention these situations. Of course, it's mentioned both in the sources of Ahl Sunnah and in the Shias that, for example, a lady was ordered by Umar to be taken to being stoned for
adultery.
Here, Imam Ali suddenly appears and tells Umar that this lady is pregnant. You're not allowed to perform, to carry out this penalty on this lady. Here, again, Umar says, "Lawla Ali la halak Umar." So there's many situations. Many examples that this thing has happened, has been happening and repeated at the time of Imam Ali. This was the first phase of the life of this person, 250-year-old person, which is a summary of the life of our Imams alayhi salam. The second phase is the time where the Imams, this holy person, comes into official power.
Right.
Comes in power. Imam Ali alayhi salam becomes the official Khalifa of the Muslims from year 35 until year 40 after Hijrah. And Imam Hassan alayhi salam from year 46 month, Imam Hassan alayhi salam was again the Khalifa of the all Muslims. This is again another situation when this holy individual basically deals with the affairs of the Muslims and he comes up with certain measures, certain actions, certain conducts. Again, the third phase of the life of this holy individual is after the time of Imam Hussein, the Shahada and the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, where this individual goes into a very high pressure from the power that
incredibly high pressure.
The high pressure that was inserted by the ruler of the time. So another tactic was basically taken and pursued by this person in order to preserve the Shias, educating them, promoting the values of Shias amongst their secret followers, secretly behind the scenes working in order to educate them, in order to basically pass on the ma'arif and the teachings of Shias amongst them and to create a network of Shias. This was
this movement and this network.
To preserve this movement, to preserve the doctrine of Shias amongst those the true followers of the Imams alayhim as-salam. This was the second episode. And the third episode, obviously, the fourth and the final episode of the life of this Ma'sumin was again in order to revitalize that ideology of Shias by appointing certain individuals in different parts of the Shia community, Shia geography, and in order to create this sort of link between the Imam and to promote and advocate the point and the mafhum, or you could say the perception, the idea of Imamah amongst the Shias, and to make them get connected with the divine leader from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Which is this Sazman-e Wakalat, this network of representatives.
So, as mentioned by the Supreme Leader in this basically summary of the life of the Imams alayhi salam, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, at his time, there were certain requirements, there were certain measures that he needed to take into action. There were certain things that happened. A situation happened that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had to go into peace terms with Muawiyah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as I mentioned before, was at the time of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the same tactic, the same measures would have been taken by Imam Hussein alayhi salam. If Imam Mujtaba was at the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the same actions that Imam Hussein performed would have been done and performed by Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Another answer to this question, you can look into the sayings of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, and Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam gives a very clear answer, a very beautiful answer to this question that they ask. Explicitly this question from Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam that I want to mention it. This is in a narration mentioned by Abi Sa'id that I asked Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, قلت للحسن ابن علي ابن أبي طيار يا ابن رسول الله, O the son of the Holy Prophet, لمدى أنت معاوية وصالحته وقد علمت أن الحق لك دونه وأن معاوية ضال باغ. That why was it that you went into peace terms with Muawiyah and you knew that he was an oppressor, was a person who had was misguided and rebellious towards you, and you had not you did not have the right to go into peace terms because he was an oppressor. We as a Muslim, we not have the right to go in peace terms with an oppressor. He was rebellious towards you as well. Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, this is the very key answer. The first answer that Imam Mujtaba tells this person is this, which is, I think we need to understand. This is the very important point that all the Shias should have in their mind. Imam says, Abu Sa'id, am I not the proof of Allah towards you?
أَلَسْتُ
حُجَّةَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى ذِكْرُ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ. Am I not the proof of Allah on His creations? وَإِمَامًا عَلَيْهِمْ, and a guide towards them. Am I not an Imam? Do you not consider me as your Imam? This is the first answer to the Imam. If I am the Imam, I know the right thing. I know the good thing for the nation. I know what is right, what is wrong. You're the one, you need to follow me. You need to know that your duty is to follow me. This is something very important, brothers or sisters. That we need to know that Imam, when we accept him as a position of in a position of a divine leader, it means that whatever he says, we need to obey. Even if we don't understand the wisdom behind it. Imam alayhi salam knows the reason. Sometimes he has the time, he has the situation is in a manner that he can explain to you the reason behind the actions that he takes. Sometimes no, he's not able to explain it. He orders and you need to follow. And this concept of imama at the time is again being exercised through the being of Imam Sahab al-Zaman as well. We need to know that we as Shias, we believe that Imam needs to be present at all times. This is something very important. If Imam alayhi salam is not present, it doesn't mean that he's not exercising his imama. His imama is being implemented by Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, but not through direct contact with us. Of course, we've been deprived from being in direct contact, direct connection contact, with the imam, but his imama is being implemented, is being exercised through what? Through the fuqaha, the maraji. We need to follow the maraji because we believe in imama. Some people think that if we, for example, don't follow the maraji, it's okay. We can be a Shia and forget about following a marja. No, when we say we are Shia and we believe in the holy beings of the Imams, that they are our divine leaders, they are the Ma'sumeen, that we are ought to follow them. It means that at the time of the occultation of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, we have to follow his orders as well.
The system of wilaya and the imam, system of imamah.
Does the holy imam, God forbid, go off duty? Can imamah, can it happen? Can imamah go,
take a break?
Take a break. Can you imagine that imam, okay, here, you go do whatever you want. I want to have my break. This is something nonsense. It's against nonsense, rationality. It's something irrational. It's something illogical. Both against our Shia belief and doctrine, and not rational. Rationally, it cannot be accepted that the imama can go on a break or be off duty. No, imama is there. Imama is being implemented, is being exercised through what? Imam, the holy Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam, he mentions that if you want to follow me, follow the famaraji. أَمَّا الْحَوَادِثْ فَرْجُوا فِي ذَرُوَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَى فَأَنَا حُجَّةُ اللَّهِ. They are my proof over you. I am the proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a key point that Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam, when he wants to answer this, don't you believe, he says that, don't you believe I am an imam? So you need to follow me. You need to have this inception. You need to have this understanding, this vision, this basira, that when I say something, you need to follow. This is the first point that the holy imam mentions. Then he goes on. He says, the reason why I went on peace treaty with Muawiyah was exactly the same reason why the Holy Prophet made the peace treaty with the Kuffar.
And the Sulh Hudaybiyah.
Yeah, Hudaybiyah, ahsant. He says, Abu Sa'id, illatu musalihati li Muawiyah, illatu musalihati Rasulullah li bani Dhamrah wa bani Ashja' wa li ahli Makkah hina insarafa min al-Hudaybiyah. He says, the reason why I went on peace treaty was exactly the same reason why the Holy Prophet went in peace treaty with the kuffar. But the difference is this: those people, they were the kuffar, the disbelievers, the blasphemers of revelation. They were the kuffar bit tanzil. They were the disbelievers of revelation.
Yeah.
While Muawiyah is the blasphemer of implementation of that revelation. Bit ta'wil. Muawiyah is the kafir of وَأَصْحَابُهُ كُفَّارٌ بِالتَّأْوِيلِ. They were the blasphemers, or you could say the disbelievers of the implementation, the ta'wil of that revelation. If I am the chosen imam, you need to follow me. Then he goes on, يَا أَبَا سَعِيدٍ إِذَا كُنْتُ إِمَامًا مِنْ قِبَلَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَجِبْ أَنْ يُسَفَّهْ رَأْيِي فِي مَا أَتَيْتُ مِنْ مُهَادَنَةٍ أَوْ مُحَارَبَةٍ وَإِنْ كَانَ وَجْهُ الْحِكْمَةِ فِي مَا أَتَيْتُ مُلْتَبِسًا. If I was an imam by Allah, my rule, my decree should not be abused by you. This is something that I decide. This is in my hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this authority, this power to do something. You need to follow me. Your duty is to follow me. My duty is to guide you. To command you, to order you, and guide you. This is my duty.
You know what's really interesting before you continue? You can see the strength and the power and the prestige and the honor of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam in these words of his, you know?
Exactly.
You can sense a very courageous, a very strong individual from this. Please, yeah, continue.
Yes. So Imam Hussein, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam was famous, was popular for his speech. He was very, very talented. His
powerful.
Speech, powerful, very powerful, very effective on the hearts of the people. And of course, his prestige, his, you could say, physical appearance was, of course, he helped him in that manner as well. So Imam Ali, Imam Hassan alayhi salam is explaining this. So then he explains his decision and compares his decision with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran with regards to the story of Prophet Musa and Prophet Khizr. This is
interesting.
This is what Imam Mujtaba says. He says, أَلَا تَرَى الْخِضْرِ لَمَّا خَرَقَ السَّفِينَةَ وَقَتَلَ الْغُلَامِ وَأَقَامَ الْجِدَارِ سَخَطَ مُوسَى فِعْلَهُ لِاشْتِبَاهِ وَجِّ الْحِكْمَةَ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى أَخْبَرَهُ فَرَضَى هَكَذَا أَنَا سَخَطْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ بِوَجِّكُمْ. Imam Mujtaba says, when Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he was following Khizr and he saw Khizr making a hole inside that safina, that ship. And slaughtering that kid and making building up, rebuilding that wall. Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he kept on asking, why are you doing this? And Prophet Khizr was telling you, you need to have your patience. أَلَمْ أَقُلْ إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. He said, didn't I tell you that you don't have the patience to bear with me? You need to have patience, you need to be silent. There is a hikmah, there is a wisdom behind this. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam is explaining that what I did when I went into peace time with Muawiyah was like what Prophet Khiz did when he made that hole in that safina, that ship. Although there was a what you saw was a very evil action. Was something that you didn't make sense for you. But I had a wisdom. There was a wisdom behind it. There was a certain objective that I was pursuing when I did the action. There was a reason behind it. I wanted to preserve this ummah. And then the Holy Imam says, if I didn't do that, there would not have been left any Shias today following the Ayyam Salamullahi Ta'ala alayhi. So the task that I did, the action that I took at the time of Muawiyah when I went into peace terms, it was the reason for it was this: to preserve the Shias, to preserve the true message of Islam for the generations that were coming.
Yeah, Jazakallah. So, thank you so much,
you're welcome.
Sheikh Mustafa Araki, taking time out. What a beautiful and comprehensive biography of the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, especially this peace treaty, which is quite, you know, sometimes people don't understand what happened. And unfortunately, one of the things that we've learned is that we must obey the imams. And, you know, because I think what's interesting, before we end, and I'll let you comment on this, but, you know, we have a tendency to do this with a lot of things regarding Islam. So for example, sometimes with the ahkam, the religious rulings, why hijab, why beard, why pray five times a day, why fast in Ramadan, you know, we have a tendency to do that not only to the imams, alayhim as-salam, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. We constantly, you know, what is the wisdom behind fasting? What is the wisdom behind Hajj? What is the wisdom? No, we have to understand that there is a wisdom to every single one of these things. This, we just don't understand. I just thought it was an interesting point that not only do we not follow the imams, we don't even follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, one very good, you could say, lesson that we can take from the life of A'imma salamullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, especially from the life of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam, is this, that they used to educate people through their actions.
Right.
When you do an action, when the people see that action, when they sense it with their feelings, they can gradually understand the wisdom, gradually.
Yes.
They can see the goodness in that action.
Right.
Sometimes, this is especially with regards to our kids, when you want to educate. This is a very golden key, I think, golden rule for educating our kids. If you want them to, for example, know the goodness of prayer, practice praying. Do prayers in front of them. Pray in front of them. Do good deeds in front of them. They will gradually understand the wisdom. When they see the value, the credibility of that action, eventually they will come into it. They will put that into action as well. We have this story in the life of Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salam. It's a very beautiful story. I love it. It says that Imam Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi ta'ala used to pray at night. And it's interesting that Imam Mujtaba was very young, was a kid, maybe 4 or 5 years old, when Bibi Fatima al-Zahra used to wake up for Salat al-Layl, for the night prayers, Imam Mujtaba used to see the mother. Okay, this is my mother waking up at the middle of night. Yeah. What does she want to do? She wants to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praying. Pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, supplicating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Quran, reciting those beautiful du'as.
Yes.
Yeah, that have been, we all have. In the Mafatih, we have the Sahih al-Sajjad. These wordings were murmured by Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullah and heard by Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. And this is what Imam Mujtaba is narrating. He says, I saw my mother standing, praying, pleading to Allah, weeping, crying, and praying for everybody. Praying for this person, this family, praying for that person, for that certain individual, for that friend, for that relative. But she never mentioned our name. She never mentioned herself when she wanted to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something. This, you know, a question came to my mind. Why is it that Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi ta'ala alayha, when she is praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is hearing the prayers of my mother. And she's praying for everybody and not mentioning our name. I asked my mother, why is it that you pray for everybody except for us? And then this is what this the Bibi Fatima al-Zahra mentions to Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam. Ya Bunay, al-jar, thumma al-dar, prioritize others to yourself, the neighbors, and then yourself. Yeah. So you are giving priority to others.
Right.
This is what Bibi Fatima al-Zahra is mentioning, that I am giving priority to others.
Right. And this is the same individual who then goes and gives away all of his wealth
so
and his possessions.
So Bibi Fatima al-Zahra is educating, is teaching his son through his own actions. This is what we should understand, that if we want to have our kids in our way, if we want our kids to be in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to do it in our actions and then they will learn. They will see us and they will implement that in their actions.
Inshallah. Jazakallah. Thank you so much, Shaykh Mustafa Araki, taking time out. And again, our congratulations to you on the birth anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mustafa.
Thank you very much.
And may they reward you for your efforts, inshallah. And we hope to have you on another talk show soon, inshallah.
Ta'ala. Thank you very much. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings and his forgiveness to all of us in this holy month of Ramadan. And make us achieve from this blessings of this holy month in this holy moments, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah, jazakallah. And thank you so much, dear viewers, for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We were talking about the life of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. And once again, our congratulations to you all, wherever you are, upon the birth anniversary of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. And that's all from us for now. Fi amanallah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wherever you are.